Great Eastern.
Down for the day.
What do we think?
24,580. Morning. Would you identify yourself for the record?
Sure. My name is Captain Jeremy York. I'm with the Madison Police Department, and I'm representing the Madison Police Department on behalf of Chief John Jack Drum.
Thank you.
I'm Ralph Sherman, representing the appellant. Good morning.
Thank you. Captain, a summary of your case?
Yes. So the appellant here applied for a temporary pistol permit with the Madison Police Department. He submitted his application, and I was assigned as the investigator at the time to conduct the background investigation. So he went through the process, submitted everything. He marked no in the response that he'd ever been arrested for any crime in any jurisdiction. When he was fingerprinted and we received the results back, there was a record indicated in the FBI database. And I also then ran a collect III NCIC search, and that also confirmed the incident.
This is just a summary of your case.
Now. Yeah, just a summary of case, yep. So then I did a records request, found the incident report from the incident that took place at the Illinois State Police. It was a motor vehicle stop, and he was found with a large possession of marijuana. Based on that information on the arrest and the file shown in the FBI database, it was presented to Chief Drum, and he made the ultimate determination to deny the application.
Thank you. Attorney Sherman?
I'll pass, thank you.
Okay, Captain, your case in chief. Your whole case, all the information.
Oh, I'm sorry, I kind of just did that again, but not to. So, like I said, we made the records request. On his application, he checked that no, he's never been arrested. I sent the records request to the Illinois State Police, and I received the traffic incident report from the trooper that was involved. And in that arrest record, it shows that, you know, he was operating a motor vehicle that was traveling from, I believe, Colorado, and I don't remember where they were ending up to, but, you know, noticed nervous behavior. They conducted a further investigation and found a large amount of marijuana hidden within the television in the trunk area, I believe, if my memory serves me correct. So based on that, he was arrested and given a court date of, per the records, on April 11, 2011, to appear in court in Illinois. And so based on that information and the record showing, that's why the Madison Police Department issued the denial.
Was he convicted of a crime in Illinois?
I'm showing the record that he was looking at it, the III and the FBI record. It's a little confusing because it states, I apologize.
Not a problem.
24 months of probation, charges not filed. Yeah. What does that mean?
So it's confusing. If you look on the paperwork, it says charges not filed by state's attorney, but then it says sentenced to conditional discharge 12 months, imprisonment jail 60 days, probation 24 months. So in my training and experience, every time I've read a criminal history report, that shows that there was a conviction. So.
Okay.
Well, that's the question I have.
Yeah.
Is it a conviction? Is it a felony conviction? And I'm sure Attorney Sherman has an answer to that, but what's your position right now? Because it looks to me, I read that as it's a felony conviction.
That's what we read, and outside I actually called into, so to add further information, Attorney Sherman provided the Madison Police Department on March 23rd from the Illinois State Police saying that search of the files of the Bureau may pursuant, submitted your agent failed to review any criminal conviction record. So in the presence of Attorney Sherman, I called in dispatch, we just re-ran them in III, and it's still showing the record.
Well, that's clear as mud.
So, that's where we're at. We're showing the record, everything that we've, between the police report, the III record, the FBI record, it's showing a conviction. This document that Attorney Sherman is saying that there is no conviction, so.
And he didn't list it on his application.
And he did not list it on his application, he checked no to all that. He did, there was an incident that we found in Meriden, but that incident was dismissed, so that is, he filed that correctly, so he didn't have to disclose that. But just this, you know, glaring incident that happened in 2011 in Illinois, that's, and it's showing on his record as a felony arrest, so.
In any event, it would appear he was arrested in Illinois.
Yes, per the police report and the documentation from the trooper's incident report showing that he has a court date of April 11th.
And yet he did not disclose the arrest on his application, is that correct?
No.
So felony arrest, is there a felony conviction showing on his record making him prohibited?
Looking at the record per the FBI database, there's showing, as I just read, it says it was not filed by the state's attorney, but then it also shows the
conviction,
the sentence in
and a sentence of 60 days.
60 days jailed, 24 months probation.
So just based on my experience, if you receive that information, you've been convicted of every criminal history I've ever, in my 17 years in law enforcement, that's listed after a conviction.
Did you contact Illinois at all for clarification?
I did not. The only contact I did with Illinois was the records released from the Illinois State Police.
Because on the provided information from the State Police, Illinois State Police Bureau of Identification, if you go to the second paragraph, it goes, this response does not preclude the existence of conviction information under other personal identifiers. To ensure that information furnished by the Illinois State Police positively pertains to the subject in question, a UCIA fingerprint inquiry should be submitted.
Well, that would be if he were under a name and date of birth, which obviously he isn't, since they have a report.
Exactly. So I was going to get when you got there, so about how you have all of his identifiers.
If he had an alias, it's kind of obvious that they had the right person when
100%.
They did my record check.
That's where I was going to go to the next part of it.
Thank
but
you for that.
He preempted, yes.
Attorney Sherman, would you like to cross-examine?
I would, please. So in your 17 years of experience, have you ever seen where the FBI record was wrong as compared with the state record, for example, from Connecticut?
I have seen that
before.
Yeah,
like not updated, not really complete.
I have seen that before.
Yeah, okay. On the FBI record that you obtained 2 years ago, the board has that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the board also has my report from about 3 weeks ago from Illinois State Police for verification, right? Thank you. On the report that you obtained from the FBI, charges not filed by state's attorney, doesn't that mean, like Arenali, that the state's attorney declined to prosecute it?
Possibly, but then when you see the underneath there where it says probation 12.
I understand, but it also doesn't say convicted on there, right? It says not. It does not use the word convicted or conviction anywhere, correct?
If I look
that
at
word conviction is not in the FBI report, correct?
I have to just read it real quick just to confirm that.
Undoubtedly, it shows an arrest from 15 years ago.
I got it here, Captain.
I got a million papers.
I know, just sort of speed things along for you.
Yep.
Right at the bottom, it's...
No, I do not see anything where it says conviction.
Okay. And...
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And when you see on the FBI report, charges not filed by state's attorney, and then there's a report, not from the FBI, which is, like, they're getting the information secondhand and who knows when or how, but when you see a report from the Illinois State Police Bureau of Identification from 3 weeks ago that says, no conviction, doesn't that make it seem probable to you that there really is no conviction?
Based on the facts and circumstances that I received and from the Illinois State Police, and looking at that record, yes, I have seen in the past that there are discrepancies, but I was not provided that information when I was doing the investigation.
Okay, but you have had this information for a couple of weeks now from the Illinois. State Police Survey case, the report that I obtained.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any, do you have any reason to doubt the accuracy of this report?
I would have no reason to doubt that.
Okay. Then I had nothing further.
Did you already ask about questions from the board?
No, but I'm going to now.
Okay.
Questions from the board?
Yes. So, Captain, are you nonetheless concerned that an arrest with 6 pounds of marijuana hidden in a TV set in the trunk of a car is remains a concern?
It's very alarming behavior. Just when you read the, if you've been provided a copy of the incident report, just reading that behavior, you know, that's a large amount of marijuana, especially when you read the information from the trooper's report that upon the motor vehicle stop, they're acting extremely nervous. I think he explains that, the heart was thumping, he could see the carotid arteries. Obviously, based on that behavior, you know, there's definitely some alarming behavior going on, and you know, maybe the nervousness was caused by what was in the trunk of the vehicle.
It appeared to me from reading the report that there was active effort to conceal, because I believe the trooper had a dog with him, and mm-hmm. the dog pointed to the concealed television set.
Yep, and if my memory serves me correct, it was hidden with inside the vents of the television and everything, so there was an active effort to conceal the marijuana.
Thank you.
15 years ago.
Yep.
Correct?
Yes.
Have you seen the appellant since? Has any issue in town with him in dealings?
So we just had a couple motor vehicle stops. No alarming behavior or anything.
So no criminal activity?
Nope.
No charges, no arrests, no convictions in 15 years?
No. Nope.
Okay.
Any other questions?
He was arrested for the marijuana possession?
Yes.
The 6 pounds?
Right. And was that disclosed in the application?
No.
So no other questions, Attorney Sherman.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to call the appellant. So let's start with this. You recall the arrest we're talking about 15 years ago in Illinois,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. Police put you in handcuffs?
Yes.
Where'd they take you?
You
got to speak up.
So yes. County Jail.
Okay. They took you to a county jail, and then what happened?
I had no contact with anybody. I had nothing. I spent the night. I woke up, and a CO came to the door and said, "You're coming out. You're leaving."
Gave you your clothes and sent you home.
Put me on the street, and I had to figure out how to get. They didn't have a car.
Did you ever appear in a courtroom?
No.
Did you ever go to a courthouse?
No.
Did you ever appear in front of a judge?
No.
Did you ever plead guilty to anything?
No.
Okay. Did you think that this thing had disappeared from your record because of the way you were treated at the time of the arrest?
I didn't even know this was a thing.
So is that why you didn't disclose the arrest on the application? You thought it was off your record?
Yes.
About the arrest, you were traveling with a companion, right?
Yes.
So, was he also arrested?
Yes.
Was he prosecuted rather than sent home?
Yes.
He was prosecuted?
Yes.
Okay. Was it his marijuana?
Yes.
Were you aware of the marijuana being in the car?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your response.
No.
Okay, and you were told at the jail to go home by a correction officer.
Said you're free to go.
Okay. I don't think I have anything further.
Would you like to cross-examine?
Yes, sir, just on the documentation from the Illinois State Police, it states on the page that you were given a court date of April 11, 2011. You never received any of this paperwork?
No.
Saying that you needed to appear in front of court or anything?
Do you recall if you received paperwork?
No.
Okay. Can you just go into more detail about the incident that occurred during that motor vehicle stop?
Driving home from a ski trip, and my friend grabbed the TV. We had mutual friends out in Colorado on skiing. They were giving us a TV. I said, cool. I lived with them at the time. Awesome. I drove home.
Whose car?
This was my car. And then basically the officer came over and then he said, you know what, I'm going to call a dog. Called the dog, it alerted, and I was in handcuffs. I told the rest of that story. And then once I was released, I got back to Connecticut. And eventually I had spoken to my friend there, and obviously he was still locked up, and we had to deal with everything that you're talking about.
Okay. When the trooper in his report states that during this interaction at the vehicle with both Merrigan and Freya, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Appellant.
I'm sorry, the appellant. I noticed both were exhibiting extremely nervous behavior. Both subjects' hands were shaken uncontrollably, and I was able to see their heart rate and their stomachs and their carotid arteries. If you didn't, why were you so nervous?
I'm nervous now. This is uncomfortable.
Okay.
You guys have the power to do whatever it is, and you know I'll have to deal with the fallout. So it's always nerve-wracking to not have control.
Mm-hmm. No further questions.
Do you have any redirect, Attorney Sherman?
I think it's the board's turn. Thank you.
It is the board's turn. Was your car confiscated?
Yes, and it was given back. Probably, I don't know the exact time, but a couple months later, probably once the other defendant went through whatever his first trial is, and basically said that I had nothing to do with that, so they returned the car.
Okay. So although you're saying although you were released, you didn't have possession of your vehicle at that time and had
no.
to seek another way to get home?
That's correct.
So you did not serve 60 days in prison?
No.
Do you know if your friend did?
I don't know his exact terms. I think he spent some time there dealing with that, and then eventually he was home, I would say within a month or two. So whatever they worked out, but I didn't speak to him afterwards.
I imagine you were a little annoyed with him.
Yeah. And I haven't spoken to him since.
You said you were roommates at the time. When you talked to him, did you ask him if he knew if there was 6 pounds of marijuana in the TV set?
I actually didn't speak to him afterwards. I spoke to his father.
Uh-huh.
I didn't get an opportunity to speak with him.
Okay.
I think he testified he hasn't talked to him since the incident. Is that correct?
Okay. But why didn't you indicate that you were arrested then on your application?
Because I assumed that when I didn't go to see a judge in the morning, that this was like a misunderstanding, and they had told me at the jail that the other person said that this is his, and that this is what's, like, you're free to go, essentially, like, you didn't do it. So I guess my ignorance to the wording of the question, to the form, I guess.
So you felt... correct me if I'm wrong, but you felt that because you were discharged the next day and free to go, that the arrest was an unwarranted arrest, so...
Like a misunderstanding.
Equivalent to not arrested at all.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you happen to know whether or not your roommate pled to guilty to this offense?
I don't know what it was. I'd have to guess that he probably took some type of plea deal.
Well, again, I'm speculating, but you know, if he had in jail, okay,
yes.
If he said that was all my stuff, it wasn't your stuff, that might have been the reason why they let you go and they charged
yes.
him with the offense.
Yes, no, I 100% think that.
Okay, now then, you went from jail, you got back to Connecticut.
Yes.
Okay, and you never got any papers forwarded to you from the Illinois court or police department or any of that sort of thing.
No, the contact that I had was with his father, and I may have spoken to his attorney one time in regards to the car, I believe, and basically, you know, I don't don't think they wanted us to have any communication as well. There was no need for that. And it was more or less an asset, you know, just trying to basically say, you're out of this, we'll get the car back, and that's that.
Thank you.
Yes.
So, and you were not aware of the 6 pounds in the car?
No.
Where did the TV come from?
So we had mutual friends at Central Connecticut that had moved.
You mean Central Colorado?
No, the university.
Oh, I see.
I don't know. Their friends were out there, so we're like, oh, you know, let's go on a ski trip. And we're broke living on that.
Yeah, so you visited them?
Yeah.
And they gave you the TV to take back?
Yeah, they said, yeah, you want this?
Yep. Okay. And so, just so in the police report, the trooper says, well, or police officer says, while speaking with Freya, he stated all the cannabis was his. Freya stated he made contacts in Colorado and paid, looks like $3,800 a pound for the cannabis. Freya stated he and the appellant stayed with some friends in Boulder and then met an unknown subject at a gas station outside Boulder to pick up the cannabis. You don't recall that?
No.
You don't recall meeting somebody outside a gas station?
Yeah, we met people, but nothing like.
Your friend took the hit and you said it was all his, so I don't think he. I'm just saying. And then Freya stated he and yourself began driving back to Connecticut, and while you were driving, he transferred the cannabis from the blue and black bag to the inside of the TV, duct taping the vents. What kind of vehicle was it?
I haven't, at the time it was an Audi A4.
Okay, so it wasn't like there was a separate compartment. So while he was driving, he was messing around in either the back seat or the.
It wasn't like that at all. There was a TV in the back.
In the back, what, in the trunk?
I think it was back seats were down. Audi's a very small car.
Yep.
And it was a bigger TV. So when it went in there, I think some of the seats were like half down. Just jammed in there.
Yeah. I think
what he's getting at is, do you know how or when the marijuana got into the TV?
No.
I'm just saying he...
That's the first time I've heard that, so that...
Okay, you hadn't seen the police report?
No.
Prior to this? No. Okay. So I'm just saying your friend took the blame for everything. So I was taking it fairly credible of what he stated to the police department, that's all. And he did say that very specifically that while driving back to Connecticut, he transferred the cannabis from the blue and black bag to the inside of the TV, duct taping the vents while you were driving. That's all.
No.
And you don't recall when he stopped and picked up the marijuana?
No, I wasn't aware of that. I don't think that's accurate. What his statement is.
Yeah.
This is what he stated.
Yeah.
That's all I have, ma'am.
Other questions? Where do you live, sir?
I work in Madison.
You live in Madison?
I do live in Madison, and I own a general contracting company.
I just want to say, it doesn't make, the story doesn't make sense to me, that they just kick you loose and then the conviction is here. And based on what the friend was saying, if you were driving in an Audi A4 and someone's playing with marijuana in the back seat, especially 6 pounds, you would smell it, whether it's wrapped or not. Did you smell any weed in the car?
As far as, you know, I mean, that would be like an outrageous smell.
Yeah, absolutely. You would absolutely smell the raw pounds of marijuana.
I've never seen it in there.
Did you stop along the way at any time when he could have been doing stuff in the car and you didn't know what he was doing?
I know it's hard to imagine, but it's a large TV. The TV took up the entire, like almost the whole car. There's no way to open up a TV, the back plates of a screw, and put that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Is this an Audi sedan?
It's a small compact
sedan
car. Mm-hmm.
So, 2-door, 4-door car?
It's a 4-door car.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And he was your roommate?
Yes. I went to high school with him.
What was he going to do with the 6 pounds of marijuana? Do you know?
I would imagine get rid of it to somebody else. I can't imagine smoking that much.
Did you ever see him smoke? Like, did you smoke? Like, what was it? the correlation to marijuana being, since you guys live together, I mean, that's a considerable amount.
It was more or less, I ended up staying with him because I had no place to go. So okay. It wasn't a
choice, a default choice.
Yeah, exactly.
After college.
That was my option, and I got to stay in pretty much the floor.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Just refresh my memory. How old were you at the time, and how old are you now, sir?
35 now.
You would have been 20, correct?
20.
Did you graduate from Central?
I ended up graduating. I dropped out of Central. I went back to Gateway, got my associate's in 4.0, went to Southern, graduated with high honors. Then I opened up a business in Madison, and it's been great. Absolutely phenomenal.
Any other interactions with the police at all?
Like you had said, I had a tail light out on a truck.
But
registration was one of the other ones that was the most current.
No criminal arrest. Yeah.
Nothing in town, no incidents, nothing like that, right? Community member, obviously you're a local.
Yeah. Coaching.
Yeah.
I'm very involved in the community. I barely leave Madison. I love the town, and I'm.
Like you said, you have kids. It's local school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Far away from there.
So no other incidents, right? Character-wise, everything's good.
Yes, sir.
Okay. A final statement, Attorney Sherman?
Thank you. Well, I guess the board's probably thinking about three issues. Let's start with, does he have a conviction? I think it's very hard to get past the report directly from the Illinois State Police Bureau identification that says no convictions. He has no convictions. I don't know how to explain that FBI thing, but I'm not at the FBI, and I also, in 34 years of practice, I couldn't tell you how many times I've seen FBI records that supposedly show Connecticut or whatever state you would care to name that are out of date, wrong, they have the wrong person, et cetera, et cetera. My initial reaction was, yeah, there's a sentence on here, really? But wait a minute, it says charges not filed by state's attorney. That's their way of saying the state's attorney looked at it when it got to the courthouse from the police and said, forget it, we're not prosecuting this guy, which comports with what he testified, which is that the other guy got prosecuted. So they just let him go. It sounds like a rather unceremonious way that they did it, but you can't get convicted without standing in front of a judge in a courtroom, whether it's by a trial or by pleading guilty, not in the United States of America. Thank goodness. So I don't think there's a conviction. I think it's pretty understandable why he thought he didn't have to put this on the application form. Having this thing, we've been over all the details. There's no conviction. It turned out to be nothing. In his mind, it was, as he said several times, a mistake. As for the incident itself, it's pretty clear that it wasn't his marijuana, and I think we're really going down a rabbit hole trying to figure out if 15 years ago when he was 20 years old, if he knew that this enormous TV in the back had marijuana in it. I can understand why anybody would be nervous about their own case in front of the board. Mm-hmm. I'm nervous when it's my own case too, wherever it might be. Mm-hmm. And I audition for something, for theater, mm-hmm. I'm nervous. I just think that there's a lot of smoke here and really nothing. He's a reputable guy who's lived in Madison a long time and has a business, and the police don't know him for any other reason except that he put in an application for a permit. If he gets his permit, this board's never gonna hear about him again. And neither are the Madison police. And I think that's our case. Thank you.
Captain?
No comment.
Colonel Overton.
Sure, this is a denial by Madison. The denial is for suitability. Also, there was a concern whether the appellant had a felony conviction for an incident that occurred in February of 2011. The FBI report does not show a conviction. It shows that the appellant There is, it is sort of, it is very confusing whether there was, it says he was sentenced to probation and 60 days prison time or something to that effect. But there's no conviction on the FBI report. Attorney Sherman did provide a document from the Illinois State Police showing the appellant has no criminal conviction. The other concern from the Madison was police department was the appellant failed to list that arrest from 2011. The appellant testified that he and a friend was traveling from Colorado back to Connecticut, stopped by the Illinois State Police. In the report, the appellant's friend took responsibility for the 6 pounds of marijuana that was found hidden in a TV in the back of their vehicle. The appellant testified while he was arrested, taken into the police department. He was released the next day, made his way back to Connecticut, never heard from Illinois or that judicial system again. The appellant testified he was not aware that the 6 pounds of marijuana were hidden in the TV. Seems like the only interaction or concern the appellant had was how to get his car back from Illinois after it was seized in that traffic stop. That one incident 15 years ago was the only negative interaction that the appellant has had with law enforcement.
Thank you. Comments by the board?
Well, I can understand Madison's concern based on the paperwork. However, I think that the appellant and his attorney made a compelling counterargument, so that's going to influence my decision.
As a one point of clarification, when I was reading the boilerplate language from the letter from the Illinois State Police, I know we got into identifiers, but I was trying to get at for Attorney Sherman because he's on the ball as always, doing a great job. The inquiry type is a UCIA at the bottom, so it is the full form, so it is the most accurate one. So if you look, when I was reading, a UCIA fingerprint inquiry should be submitted. It is at the bottom. When you look, inquiry type, it is a UCIA. That's where I was going with that. But zealous advocacy is a good thing. So
let me ask you, as SLFU, will they have a problem with that? Will they issue with that on his record?
I call the next person.
I already talked to her about it.
We did. We already talked, and I said that based on what I read, that I would issue a permit, and I said if he wanted to provide it with me, so that SLFU knows that it's already been taken care of.
For the record, Detective Orenda from SLFU is testifying from the audience. So,
well, that's helpful to me.
Absolutely.
Concerned with that, and frankly, the whole explanation of what happened doesn't make sense to me either. Yeah.
That's the counterbalance
in my mind at the moment about how this happened and what he knew and when he knew it. And it's just very hard to believe that someone was kicked out of the police department with no court date. When it says there's going to be a court date in the report, so again, I'm troubled by that explanation.
As am I. The pieces just don't seem to fit neatly in this case.
Could you just clarify what the exchange was with the representative of DSP? I don't understand.
Detective Orenda,
do you want me to come up there?
Would you please?
Yep.
And she's been sworn in.
I have been sworn in.
And tell the record who you are again.
I am Detective Brindiana Waranda from the Specialized Hunting and Firearms Unit. So prior to the hearing, Attorney Sherman provided me with the Triple I response and the response from Illinois. And he asked me what my professional opinion was being in SLFU. I looked at both. I read exactly what the Madison captain here saw. It was very confusing. Was it not filed? But then there's some sentencing stuff and imprisonment. And then I read what Attorney Evangelisti also provided, and I saw that it was that same coding, the UCI, and that's the official record, that's a full thing. And I said if it was a revocation, we didn't, and we revoked it based on that, if we were provided that, we would probably reinstate it. And then I also told Attorney Sherman, if he won and everybody agreed that this was not a conviction, to provide it to me so that I could make sure that SLFU knows, so then he doesn't get the runaround at SLFU when he comes with his temporary permit.
Which is exactly what I thought he would do. Get the
runaround
when he
can. Yep. That's why I talked to him.
Going to be a state denial.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Any questions for Detective?
No, thank you for the clarification.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Any other comments from the board?
Yeah, so getting through the fog of what may or may not have happened, what we do know is that there's an undisclosed arrest that he knew he was arrested for, thought it went away. That was 15 years ago. The countervailing thing to that is his conduct since then, and there are three excellent letters of reference in the file attesting to his character and suitability.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Anything else? Chief Rosenzweig.
I do have concerns about the explanation, but there is, if there's no conviction at all, I'm going to go with the appellant, with the advice to the town, maybe check. I know you didn't check with the state currently. Maybe you want to do that before you issue, if that's the way it goes.
Attorney Evangelisti.
Echoing the chief, I'm going to go with the appellant, but double check, contact Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Colonel Overton.
I will vote for the appellant also. Thank
Mr.
you.
Gray.
Appellant.
Attorney Sinetti.
Appellant.
Dr. Conrad.
For the appellant.
Me too, with all the hesitation that has already been expressed.
Thank
you're successful.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.